Titus chapter 1, the book of Titus. Little book there toward the end of the New Testament. And I want to preach to you just for a few minutes tonight. If you remember what I preached on this morning, raise your hand quick. That's good. That's good. That's good. Most people can't do that, you know it. The book of Titus. All right, somebody say it out loud. I preached on this morning what? That's right. That's right. Amen. Titus chapter 1. Now tonight, I want to talk about something a little bit different. And I want you to listen to me because I'm serious. The Bible has a verse here that gets all of us. We think about it. And it's in chapter 1. Look at verse number 16. Titus chapter 1 verse 16, the very last verse. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Word reprobate means that void of judgment. See, you can sin and sin and sin and sin till God finally just says, okay. And it's just like something snaps in here, in your brain. And then you're no longer able to even tell what's right and wrong. You can't even tell. I heard some nut on TV like that the other day. Complete reprobate. The word I want to look at, though, this evening is that word profess. And it said these people profess. Profess means like to claim or say something. That they know God, but in works they deny Him. So I want to preach tonight on the subject, profession without possession. Profession without possession. You can profess something and not possess something. You can, that's a fancy way of saying, in a hypocrite. that's a fancy way of saying is somebody, a hypocrite is somebody who never intends to be what he pretends to be. One lady told a guy, said one time, she said, why don't you come to our church? And he said, nope, ain't going to come there. There's too many hypocrites. She said, oh, come on, one more ain't going to hurt. And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. There's plenty of people who profess that they know God. They have the talk, but not the walk. And as much as our ability gives us tonight, our walk ought to match our talk. It's easy to talk about the Lord and say I love the Lord. It's a different story to walk to match your talk, right? So let's talk about that for a little while tonight. And I hope that God will help you and be a blessing to you. You can profess but not possess. I guess probably 95% of the people in here tonight, maybe even more than that, profess to be a Christian. If I would ask everybody in here tonight, how many of you people are saved and going to heaven, it may be everybody in here. I don't know. There may be two or three in here, three or four, five maybe, that says, I don't know if I am or not. There may be some that says, I know I'm not. But the big, big majority of you, raise your hand and say, yes, I'm going to heaven when I die. But if you're a Christian tonight, there ought to be some things that mark your life. Now, make sure you understand me. Nobody is perfect. Nobody lives a perfect, sinless life. If you run somebody who says they're perfect, you better get away from them as fast as you can get away from them. They're crazy. They're not perfect, and I'm not, and you're not, and we're not going to be as long as we're down here in this flesh. There's nobody sinless in this world. Only the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, and that's why He died, because me and you couldn't be sinless. But I'm telling you tonight, a Christian ought to have some kind of walk with the Lord and for the Lord. So let's talk about that for a few minutes tonight. And first thing I want to see is our profession without possession, there is no change. There is no change. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he don't cuss his microphone. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You got it sitting way up high as you can get it, brother? All things are become new. Listen, If a man gets saved, when he gets in Christ, everything passes away and everything becomes new. Now, when you got saved, everything became new. If everything did not become new, you did not get saved. I did not say you'd be perfect. I did not say when you get saved, you ain't never going to sin again. I said when you get saved, everything changes. I'll never forget the night I got saved. Never, ever, ever, as long as I live. I believe I'll remember it a million years from now in heaven. I was 18 years old. You've heard my testimony. I went to church. I had this little car about as long from here. The wall right there. It's a little MG. Y'all remember the little MGs? I had MG and I had the top down on that thing and I drove all over Nebo in that thing flying. And I just knew I was going to wreck it one of these days and get killed or something. But God had mercy on me. And there's a revival up at Nebo Baptist Church and a lady prayed and fasted for 3 days. At the end of that 3 days, everybody be still now. Make these kids all be still. And please don't nobody else get up. If you feel the urge to get up, say no. Okay? It's very, very distracting that people trying to listen. Now, I remember a lady fasted 3 days. After that 3 days, God said, fast again. She went 6 days and nights and didn't eat. She prayed for 6 days and nights. And the Lord got in that little community. God got in that community of Nebo. I'm telling you, that's what we need in this day and time. When God gets a hold of people's hearts. And I'll never forget, we was down there at school playing basketball, me and these boys. And at that time, you know, I played in a rock and roll band, was a teenager, and I my hair was about down to here, you know, and I had on these stupid looking blue jeans that had a flag. Everybody had wore flags on their pants back then, you know, and I wore them here, you know, and everybody was like trying to be hippies and stuff. And I'll never forget, I had that little old car, and I remember my cousin. We met two or three more people. We piled three or four people in that little car and didn't have two seats. And we go flying up the road and we went to that revival on Tuesday night. And I went in and I remember I went and I looked in like this and I was in the back. The whole church was full. And I looked in the back like that and it was full and they was already standing up singing. I said, I ain't going in there. He said, come on, let's go. I said, I ain't going in there. They're going to look at us. Everybody in there knows me and they're going to stare at me. And I'd had one bad experience before that. I had only been to church one time in years before that. And I went to a little bitty country church. That little church wasn't much bigger than about four or five of these rows right here. And about 25 people there. And I went and with my girlfriend and we sat there and I'll never forget. I had a stupid looking Daniel Boone jacket. I don't know why we liked it, but they were suede like this, you know, had those fringe things hanging down like that. That was the stupidest looking thing ever. But I liked that thing, and I wore that to church on Sunday morning. Boy, everybody in there was over 80, and they all looked at me like, who is that? He's wicked. He's probably a drug dealer. What's he doing in here? And they started, my hair was long, and my hair, when it starts getting long, when it gets past right here, it goes pretty straight right here, and then it starts going zzz, 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 because it's getting curly when it starts getting down here. And I ain't never going to let you see it like that. But I got pictures of it. But anyway, it starts. You ever seen these boys when their hair gets long, it starts getting curly? Well, that's the way it looks. I look like an afro almost when it got out here, like this. But anyway, I was sitting there, and them old people looking at me. Well, there's a little preacher got up, and he's about that tall. He did not have one hair on his head. I mean slick. He'd blind you when he turned over with the light shining like that. And he jumped around like this the whole time. And he's pointing his finger. And I thought, he's looking right at me. He's looking at me. And I went like this. He's jealous because he ain't got no hair. And you know, he's about, honest to goodness, he's a little fat guy and he's about that tall. If he'd have been an inch taller, he'd have been round. Perfect circle. But anyway, he's about like this, and he'd point at me like that, and I said, I'm getting out of here. I cannot stand this. This is awful. You know, one of the awfulest feelings you ever had in your life is being in church, and everybody in there right with God but you. That's an awful feeling. Oh, I want to get out of there. Out here, I ain't never coming back. Well, I went to that revival that night, and then the next night, which would have been Wednesday night, we came back. Well, I went back there that night, and I came in that night, and I sat back there in the back. Now, remember now, I had all my rock tapes out in my car. I mean, I played basketball 4 or 5 hours a day. I thought I was lazy if I didn't play 4 hours a day. We played 4 hours a day when we were sick. And, you know, and we'd run around all over Nebo and get in trouble. I never did, you know, get on drugs or anything like that. But I was full of meanness. And you know what? That night we went back. And that night I sat back here on this side. And they got up and started singing like we was up there singing a while ago. And I'm telling you people, something got in that room. It wasn't just me and them people. It was like it got foggy in there. God got in that place. And God got in there. And people started going to the altar. Here they went. And I started getting nervous. And I said, I don't know about this. I don't know. It's fun when you're sitting there laughing, cutting up and talking and like that. But all of a sudden, God got in that place. And people started getting saved. And I started getting nervous. And I thought, man, if I get out of here, I will never come back. And this girl that I went to school with, she stand up in front of me. And she turned around and she said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? And I want to smack her. I thought, right, well, you just mind your own business, you big nosy thing. I was under conviction. It bothered me. And boy, she said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? I said, I'm not ready to get saved. I didn't know what to say. I thought when it was your time to get saved that you would hear angels playing on harps, you know, or a voice would say, Danny Kessel, it's your time. But it's not like that. My heart just going, pound, pound. I thought I was going to die. I said, I've got to get out of here. If I ever get out of here, I'm never coming back to this place again. Well, my cousin turned around at me. He punched me like that and he said, hey, man, let's go get saved. I said, I ain't ready to get saved. I remember that was the awfulest feeling ever was. I mean, I you know what I felt like? When my daddy went coon hunting. Daddy and all them always went coon hunting. And them dogs, you know, daddy, they'd hear them dogs. And them dogs go, oh! We got any coon hunters in here tonight? Ex-coon hunters? Lord have mercy. That's just one or two, three, four, four. You mean you don't go coon hunting and you're from West Virginia? Well, Daddy did. But anyway, and them dogs, they'd get that coon and boy, come with them flashlights and they're way up there on top of that little old tree. It'd be like this. Was that little old coon? And he'd look down at him like that and he'd shine that light at him like that. Poor little old thing didn't have nowhere to go, buddy. I mean, nowhere. He's like this. What's he going to do? He can't fly. He can't go nowhere else. He just hangs on like that right there. And he just looks down like that. Whoa, he's got him. And the limb broke with a coon standing on it. But anyway, he's like this. And there ain't nowhere to go. They're going to shoot him. They're going to get him out. What are they going to do with that little old fella? And them dogs just bark and bark and bark. He ain't nowhere for him to go. That's the way I felt that night. That's exactly the way I felt. I felt like the Lord had me and I was like this. And everybody was staring at me. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? God ever hems you up just like that right there, boy. God ever gets a hold of you just right. I mean, I hope he gets some of you tonight. I hope he gets a hold of your heart tonight and you'll say, dear God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of living it my way. I'm ready to get right with God and do what God wants me to do. Well, that night, finally, I broke. And I started thinking about all that stuff Mom taught me when I was little. And I was sitting about right here and I finally punched my cousin. I said, let's go. And I went like that. He went. Here I went. I went down the hall like this. I was bawling eyes out. I fell down about right here. You couldn't get in the altar. There's so many people around it. And buddy, I got up and 45 minutes later, I got up a wiping my face off like that. I bawled my eyes out for 45 minutes. I puked up all that old sin. It felt like I was just blech, you know, there went all my sins. Everything I'd done wrong, every bit of it just all came out. I'm telling you, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And God wrote my name in the book of life. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. From that night till this, there's been a many a lot of water went under the bridge, a many a hard time. There's been times I fell flat on my face, but there's never been a time when it's the same as it was before then. I'm telling you, there was a change. There was a change. There was a change. There's a change in me that night. You say, Brother Danny, you still sin? Yes, sir. I sure didn't do and have. But I'll tell you, I've never been the same since that night. And if you didn't get changed, you didn't get saved. I'm not talking about coming down the altar when you was 4 years old, popping bubble gum and laughing, saying all of us, me and all our friends got saved. I'm not saying you can't get saved when you're 4 years old. You can. But I'm telling you, a lot of people have a profession and don't have no position. A lot of people just come to the altar and don't get saved. I'm telling you tonight, there's a change when you get saved. I remember I went home that night. I may not get to my message tonight, but I went home. My mom washing the dishes like she always did. My mom was the cleanest. I mean, Lord have mercy. She just constantly is wiping and wiping and wiping dirt. She's afraid there's going to be a germ on something. She's like, used to drive my poor daddy crazy. He'd come in. You know, she'd have you, if you just got up to, you know, to get fill up your drink, she'd have your plate in the sink washing it. You ever had anybody like that? It just gets on your nerves. Mama, I ain't through yet. Daddy said he'd get up and go to the bathroom at night and come back and his bed be made up. I don't believe that. That's a West Virginia tale. He stretched it like that. But anyway, I'm telling you what, man. My mom was there, had a dick in her hand, and something inside me said, tell her what happened. Tell her what happened. It was like a voice was in me. You remember that when you got saved? Something was in me said, tell her. Tell her. I said, who is that? You got it, dude. These boys is listening up here. Amen. God. He said, God. That's right. And something in there said, tell her. I said, Mom. She said, what, Danny? I said, I've been to church. She said, really? I'm proud of you, son. I'm glad. Because she taught me about God when I was little. Read me the Bible. Me and my two sisters. And something in there said, tell her. Tell her. You better tell her. I said, Mom. She said, what? And I said, I got saved. Oh, let me tell you what happened. I took my girlfriend home. That MG had a gear stick that high. Little bitty gears. I go, change gears like that right there. And I took her and dropped her off. And that night I've been saved 3 hours. And when I dropped her off, I said, you don't pray? She said, boy, something did happen to you, didn't it? And I said, it sure did. You won't pray? She said, yeah, I guess so. And I've never prayed in front of nobody in my life. I've been saved 3 hours, brother. 3 hours. Are you listening, girls? 3 hours. Watch out for these boys that they claim to be a Christian. And the only way they want to go to church with you just so they can take you out somewhere. And they want to sit on the back row. And they won't never carry their Bible. And they won't never... Listen, I've been saved 3 hours. I said, you don't pray? She said, yeah, I guess. And I remember I put my head down on that little gear shift. I don't know what I said. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Something like that. That's what I said when I got saved. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And boy, I tell you, listen, the Lord heard that prayer more than He did some of these big Sunday morning Baptists. And I'm telling you, buddy, that night I prayed with her, my turn at home. I said, Mom, I got saved. She said, son, I'm so proud of you. I went to bed, laid down in the bed that night, and it just started hitting me. It just started hitting me. I'm going to heaven now. I'm not going to hell. I always thought I'd have a wreck and go to hell, and I'm not going. This is great. I like this. Woo! Amen! Hallelujah! I didn't know how to say amen, hallelujah. I said, hot diggity dog! Or something like that. I said, man, this is cool. I'm going to heaven. I'm high nine ninny in a hot cha cha. I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to heaven when I die. And that night, the next morning, I had a motorcycle too, by the way. I had a little Honda I bought, boy, over in Nebo, and I rode that motorcycle to work the next morning. And I had a little old Honda, it wasn't about like a 160 or 175 Honda. I drove that thing down here to Morgan, and I worked right over there at that place right off Jamestown exit. I don't know what it is now, but it was a knitting mill then. That's where I worked, first shift. I was 18, just got out of high school. And I pulled in there that day, and me and this boy, this black boy named Herbert, I ain't seen him in years. I don't know whatever happened to him. Me and him was sitting in the parking lot. We didn't have nothing to do. And the plant manager walked by and fired us both the next morning. I mean, I'd been saved about 12 hours. I got back on my motorcycle, went back home. I went full time for the Lord for about 3 months. Just been saved the night before. Because when that boy shot me in the hand, I got some insurance money. And as soon as I got 18, I got my money, went and bought me a brand, I bought that MG with it, paid cash for it, and lived off the rest of it that summer. And I didn't do nothing that first summer but read my Bible for about 2 or 3 months. And then for about 3 months, I believe the Lord had me. He took me to the cleaners. I ain't kidding you. I read the Bible for 3 solid months. I'm not saying if you didn't do that, you didn't get saved. I'm just telling you what happened. That night I read the Bible, and I prayed, and I read the Bible, and I prayed. That very night, that morning I went back home, lay back down. I thought, well, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'll just lay down and sleep a little while, and then I'll get up, go shoot some basketball or something. My uncle came knocking on the door. I heard him in there telling Mom, he said, I just thought I'd come by, and I heard about Danny, and I thought I'd come by and tell him I was glad to hear it. I said, my goodness, how'd he hear about that? It's all over town. People was talking. And buddy, I'm telling you, it got all over town. I thought, well, I'm stuck, and I got to do right. You know, everybody knows I'm saved. And that helped me. That's good for you. It's good for you to make a stand and make a statement. It'll encourage you to stay in there. Don't get saved and then hide it and not tell nobody. You get saved, go tell everybody. Take your stand. Go ahead and make that cut. And be identified. Make that break with the world. And with your friend, you've heard me tell it over and over and over. I got completely off the message I was going to outline. I was going to bring you, but I'm just going to talk out of my heart. That night, God began to work in my heart. I literally started reading the Bible. I had never read the Bible in my life. I tried it a time or two, and I remember I thought, God. They gave us a Bible at school, and I took it home one time and tried to read it. And I remember I started in Matthew, and all it was, you know, the first in Matthew is all them names and stuff. And the devil said, you can't read this. All it is names. And it said, May her begat Shelah, begat Shedad, begat Budad, begat Dudad, begat Bodad, and begat Dud. And I said, this is awful. I know it's supposed to be some holy book, so I'm going to try to read it. But you know what? The night after I got saved, that was different. That thing started clicking, buddy. It felt like I was eating when I read it. And I remember one morning, Brother Andy, I remember, well, you've heard me tell it before. They said, Danny, read the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I got up one morning, and I read the Bible from 9 o'clock till 12. Mom said, Danny, I'm hungry. And I said, I'll go get us something to eat. And I went out to the Harvest Drive-In in Marion and got a bunch of chicken. God was getting me ready to be a preacher then. I didn't even realize it. That's right. Oh, that's how you know you're called to preach. You wake up one morning, don't want to go to work, craving chicken. You heard that one story, said that preacher's false teeth fell in the well. And they couldn't get it out, so they put a chicken, a rope, and lowered it in there. They grabbed on it like that, and they pulled it out. But anyway, I went and got some chicken, took it home. I said, here, Mom. And we eat that chicken. And I read the Bible 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, I went over to my cousin's house and went running around for a while over our Nebo. Come to about 8 o'clock that night, and I started reading it again. And I mean, I was in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. I mean, some of that hard stuff back there. I couldn't understand nothing. This king, that king, Lord, they cut people's heads off. I mean, they cut dogs, bullocks, animals, slashed them, blood everywhere. I thought, good Lord. What in the world is it? And I read it, and I read it. 120 chapters that day I read in the Bible. At about 9 o'clock that night, we sitting there. We didn't have air conditioning in the house in, and the window was open like this. And I'm telling you, that night, the wind was blowing outside. It was going, thunder and lightning. And I remember the big oak tree outside Mom's house, still out there right now, was a blowing like that. And all of a sudden, I had been saved now about 3 months. And all of a sudden, something in me said, you know what? I said, what? And he said, the God that's out there making that lightning flash and blowing them trees with that wind is the God that you're reading about on the pages of this book. And it's Him that moved in Christ. I'm telling you, woo! I tell you, I thought I was going to blow up. I thought, oh my goodness. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hi, nah, ninny. Amen. I've discovered what it's all about. I know my purpose in life. There is a God, and you can know Him. It is real. It's not just going to church on Sunday. It's just somebody who walks with you and talks with you and tells you He's His own. You're missing it. Some of you people's missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. It's just like, oh, let's go to church and get it over with. No, 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 Lord. It's the best thing in the universe. And you're really right. And I remember These boys started going to give out tracts. And they started going to give out tracts. And I was scared to. And I was scared because I thought, my goodness, everybody knows me. We just played in went state championship in basketball the year before. So my picture's in the paper, name's in the paper, and everybody in town. I thought, God. They said, come on, man. Danny, let's go witness and give out tracts. I said, God, I don't know if I can do that or not. And the next year, McDowell High School. And McDowell High School, all the kids that I knew went to McDowell High School in Marion. And so I got to where I wanted to witness. I really did want to, but to be honest with you, I was scared that all them people, the ball players and everything, would see me. And some of it done heard about me getting saved, and they're saying bad stuff. And I really wanted to do right, but I still hadn't really took a stand. And y'all know, many of y'all know how the Lord broke me from that. And I'll tell you how it happened. We'd get in a van. One of the boys had a van. We'd all get down the van. We'd say, oh God, please fill us with your Spirit. We'd shout. We'd say hallelujah. And I could come down here to Morgan or go to Hickory or somewhere, and I could just witness to anybody. We'd just go to the truck stop. And we'd sit on the truck stop, go in there and sit on the stools in the truck stop, and witness to truck drivers. And that was fun. Y'all, you need to get in on that. It was fun. We had a good time. We would take our Bibles in the truck stop and go up and sit down beside truck drivers and start witnessing to them. You ought to try that sometime. That was nice. Nobody never got hurt. Nobody. They didn't even cuss us out. They knew we were sincere. And so one day, we got to praying. And we was going to have a service down here. We had a little group. We had a guitar and drums and stuff. We were running late. And we made up some songs. Y'all hear some songs we made up. They was some wild stuff. And I remember we was going to come down here at Morgan, and somebody, one of these little Church of God or somebody down here was going to let us have a little service. We said, let's go down there tonight. We'll find out where it's at. And we'll go in there fired up tomorrow night or Friday night, whenever it was. And we'll be on fire for the Lord. We said, all right, I think it was on Friday night. We came down here on Saturday night. Was the service or something like that. We came down here, and we got over here and stopped and found that little church somewhere. I don't even remember where it is now, and prayed. And when we prayed, the power of God came down in that van, and we said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And I remember we got up and said, let's go witness. And boys, they said, let's go. They said, Brother Danny, where are you on? I said, I don't care. Just show me a sinner. You show me a sinner. I feel sorry for the first sinner I run into. Buddy, he's had it. We're gonna get him. Let's go find us some sinners. I thought, well, I'm down here in Morgan, don't know nobody, you know, away from home and Marion. Everybody in Marion knows me. I witnessed anybody down here. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and boldness. And I said, let's go witness it. And you know what? We went over here at Hardee's. There used to be a Hardee's right in town. It's not even there anymore. And we pulled in that Hardee's. I said, well, let's go in here and find some sinners. So we went in there and pulled in. We got our Bibles, got us tracts. Here we went out. 18 years old. Some of them boys 14, 15. We jumped out there, had our Bibles like this, tracts, walking in that Hardee's looking for somebody to witness to. There wasn't a soul in there to witness to. Nobody but the waitress. We ordered a milkshake. I remember we got a chocolate milkshake, and we was waiting on some sinners. About that time, the Lord played a joke on me that I've never got. Somebody looked around and said, look! And man, I turned around and looked, and there was a bus. Honest to goodness, it looked like it was long from here to the back of the building back there. Right behind that bus was about 45 or 50 cars. And on the side of that bus, it said, McDowell High School. I'm telling you, I got sick in my stomach. I said, oh, here comes everybody in Marion. And buddy, it about was. There's a hundred of them I know. They had just left a football game from over here at Freedom or somewhere. And they come out there, you know, just out of a football game, you know how they are. I mean, I've been saved in April, and this was like September, October. So that'd be April, May, June, July, August, September. Maybe 5, 6 months. And here they come off of that bus. You know how they are when they get off the bus. Yeah, come on, like it. Yeah, pushing each other. Very, very bold in the flesh. Cheerleaders, ball players, teachers. I mean, parents pulling them cars out. I went, I'm telling you, I thought I was going to throw up. I was going, ugh. I was trapped. I said, I can't believe you did this to me. I said, Lord, if them boys hadn't have been with me, I would have shot out the side door. Here I've been running my mouth. Yeah, let's find us a sinner. Yeah, come on, I'm going to witness to anybody. Yeah, okay, big boy, the Lord says, all right. Time you growed up a little bit now. Here, go ahead. They said, you didn't do this. No, what's wrong with you, Danny? You've lost your mind. Why do you have to go to church all the time? You think everything's a sin. And buddy, I mean, they let me have it. Bless me out. That was good for me. That's what some of you young people need. You need to take a stand one way or the other. Some of them people you go to school with don't even know that you're... And they're in hell one of these days. You have their blood dripping off your hands. I remember I stood there, and I'll never forget, I looked up and said, dear God. And I said, Lord, in a quick, real quick way, this all went through my head in like 2 seconds. Lord, these people never did care if I died, and they don't care now. Why should I be worried about what they think? Big deal. And I said, Lord, if you'll help me right now, I'll get this over with. And I'll never forget it, Brother Wayne. I'll never forget this, people. I feel like this is one of the defining points of my Christian life. When I said that, something went. Honest to goodness, it felt like I've come into Superman. I ain't kidding you. It's just like power come from somewhere. I mean, just a Holy Ghost fell on me. And I said, all right, boys, here's the way it is. I said, I know y'all think I'm crazy and I've lost my mind, but I got saved. And I know the Lord done something for me that I couldn't do for myself. And I said, from now on, I'm going the other way. I said, if y'all want to go, great. I love you. And buddy, they started getting quiet. They started doing like this. They started backing up. I said, I love every one of y'all, and I want to see you in heaven. I said, if you don't want to go, I'll see you one of these days at the judgment. Man, I let them have it. And from that day to this, I ain't never been scared of running into none of them. Matter of fact, it's the other way around. Now, oh gosh, here he comes, here he comes. I was in Hardee's and he came in there. You know why? Because when you get saved, there's a change. There's a change. I couldn't do that by myself. I couldn't do it. I had a whole bunch of stuff I was going to tell y'all tonight. But I'm just saying, I'm just telling you people, there's a change when you get saved. Make a long story short, I started preaching about 5 minutes after that. That's all I've ever done since. I've not been the best at it. Sometimes it amazes me that many people come to hear me preach. It really does. I got a few people that believe in me. An old black man that rides our bus, one I call Rick James, you know, sits back here. He comes out every Sunday. So I'd rather have his compliments than anybody. He comes out every Sunday and he says, you the best I've heard. You the best I've heard. I'd rather him do me that than get something from the ministerial assassination over that. I'm going to tell you something. There's a change. Little song used to say, there's been a change in me. A change in me. I'm not the one I used to be. Old things are passed away since Christ has set me free. There's been a change in me. That old man I knew before, he's gone forevermore. He's been covered by the blood shed on Calvary. Amen. Has that ever happened to you? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you possess? I'm not saying everything happened to you just like it did me. But I'll say this. If you get saved, there's a change. There's a change. I believe these people in here tonight that you've been saved. You've been saved. You're just saved as I am. But you've let the devil mess you up. And you've got into some kind of mess, some kind of sin and all that. And you think, gosh, there ain't no way out. There ain't no way out. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're really saved, there's a little bitty voice down in here saying, it's wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And you'll never have no peace till you get back right with the Lord. When I sin, I'm miserable until I get right. That's how I know I'm saved. Before you're saved, you can just do whatever, you know. But man, when you get saved, it bothers you. Your conscience bothers you. It's like something in here says, no, 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 this ain't right, 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 this ain't right. That's the Lord talking to you because you belong to Him. I don't know what to do now. Let's just stand, bow our heads for prayer.